Well, I'm thankful this morning that we have a God who cares, a God that we can take our burdens to, that knows who we are, He knows our names, He knows where we live, He knows what we faced yesterday, what we have faced and are going to face today and tomorrow, and He cares. And I appreciated that song this morning. I also appreciate the fact that it seems like many times when I come to Shreveport, what Brother Edgar brings out goes right along with my message, and that's always a source of encouragement to me. And it is this morning. I have a passage. Oh, I have a lot of favorite passages in the Bible, but this is a very special one to me. In the 24th chapter of Luke, I feel like every time that we read this, it is a special blessing and privilege to be able to read this account. The 24th chapter of Luke in the 13th verse, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been, he would... should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and a certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now isn't that a special story and account? To me that is just, I can really get into this passage. This was after Jesus was resurrected. This was after he had been crucified. And when you think about the condition that these men, what they found themselves in, this was a time period when, no doubt, there were many that were confused. There were those that were hurting. They were disappointed. There was a lack of understanding. I mean, the Lord, many people thought, well, this is the one. Well, we read here that they thought he was going to have redeemed Israel. They had lots of hope in the Lord. They thought one thing was going to happen, and yet something seemingly so different and opposite is really what happened. They thought the Lord was all-powerful. Well, they thought right. But it wasn't manifested like they thought that it was going to be manifested. They had put so much hope, so many dreams. They watched the Lord perform miracles. They watched the Lord touch the eyes of the blind and watch them get their sight back. He watched Him raise those that were maimed. They even saw Him raise the dead. And this was someone who was the self-proclaimed Son of God. But then there came a day when people took Him and crucified Him, a most horrible death. And they took His life, and He seemed to be gone. And they didn't understand all of that. And they were wondering what to believe, what to do next, what was true and what wasn't true, what was reality and what wasn't reality, how did all this fit together? What, have you ever felt that? I know you have. We're human. We have felt that. If you've lived very long, and you don't have to live very long, you've been there. Where you think that one thing should be if you order your life this way. I've been there. You think, if I order my life this way and I follow after this, then this is what will result from it. Right? That's the way my mind works. If you have two and you add two more to it, you ought to get four. And in my life, when you add two and two and it seems like five comes up, that rocks my boat a little bit. That isn't how my mind works, and I don't like it when that happens. And yet, sometimes in life, it seems like that's what happens. We add things together that we think ought to complement each other and give a certain result. And then when we don't get that result, and it causes pain on top of that. Now if I pay for something that I think I should get $4 worth, and I get $5 worth, then I'm happy. But a lot of times, it seems like we pay for, you know, $10 worth of something, and we get charged more for it and don't get anything in return. See? And we think, how can this be? I believe that there were many these last few days here of Jesus' life whose lives had been turned upside down. We preached a message before, I think it was here, and I believe the title of it was, Have You Any Meat? Do you remember when Jesus came to the disciples? Actually, after this, He might have been withholding Himself there too. And Peter, they were out fishing. They had some of the same questions in their mind, and He called out to them and says, hey, do you have any meat? And their answer was, no. We don't have anything. Sometimes I feel that way. How about you? Feel that way sometimes when someone comes along and says, how are you doing? Do you have any meat today? Do you got substance? Do you things? And you just, no. Enough said. That's all they said, no. We don't have any meat. These men were feeling confused, not sure, uncertain. And as they walked along and as they talked about it together, there was a man that just, do you think he just happened to be where they were by coincidence? He knew those men were walking down that road to Emmaus. And I want to tell you this morning, that regardless of how you feel and regardless of what you're going through in life, the Lord knows what road you're walking down. And He might just appear when you're least expecting it. And the Lord appeared unto them. And you know, I don't know that it was uncommon for people to sort of, you know, walk down the road. We drive in cars down roads together, and we have, you know, metal that separates us from those that are driving next to us. And a little bit that I can discern, sometimes I'm glad that there's a little bit of metal separating me from them with some of what goes on. But in these days, it was a lot easier to join a group and walk down the road. They didn't have cars back then. And I can see them, these two men, sad. Jesus said they were sad, see? They weren't this happy waiting to see what was going to happen next. They were sad. They didn't know where Jesus was. They didn't know what happened. Their lives seemed to be turned upside down. And a man appeared along beside them and began walking along. And he said, "Well, what are you all talking about on this day? What are you communing about as you walk along down this road? And why are you all sad?" And they looked at him like, "Where are you from? Where did you come from? Who? Don't you know what's going on around here?" And he... Yes, Jesus knew what was going on. He happened to be the one hanging on the cross in the tomb, moved the stone away, walked out of the tomb. He knew exactly what was going on. You know what his response was? "What things are you talking about? What things? Do you know that the Lord likes hearing us talk to Him about what's going on in our heart? He likes that. He wants us to be ready and willing to open up your heart before the Lord. Don't just say, 'Well, He knows where I'm at. If He wants to help, He'll help.' Open up your heart. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him what's going on in your life. Tell Him what things are hurtful to you. Tell Him what you're disappointed in." In this case, it had to do with him. Do you know, I think it's okay with the right spirit to say, "Lord, I don't understand. I thought, Lord, help me understand. I thought if I had lived this way, and then this has turned out, and I don't understand it." The Lord knows already what the condition of your heart is, but He asked them, He said, "What things are you talking about?" And boy, it's like water coming over a dam that has been opened up. Out it started coming. And they just started opening up their hearts, telling Him all these things. "Well, our rulers, they did this to Him." I noticed that they said "our rulers." I wonder if they felt some accountability with that. That's a different message. But I wondered that as I read through there. That word "our" stood out to me. They could have said "the rulers." They said "our rulers." And I wondered if they felt like maybe if they would have been a little stronger, if they would have stepped out a little bit more, if more people would have said more, maybe they could have prevented this from happening. Well, the Lord was going to have that happen because of the hardness of men's hearts. But they said, "Our rulers. Our rulers have taken Him and condemned Him to death and crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was going to be the Redeemer of Israel. And on top of that, this is the third day." And I can just see the Lord saying, "Well, yes. So what's so big about the third day?" Well, there was a lot to be said about the third day. And they said, "Well, some people of our company went to the tomb and they looked in there and He wasn't even in the tomb. And they said they saw this vision of angels who said He was alive. And so some others of us, we went to the tomb to look and it was mostly what they told us that it was, except that He wasn't there. I mean, there were some angels there, but Jesus wasn't there, and we don't know where He is." And I can just see them just talking, and it's just pouring out. And they didn't ask Jesus a question, but He finally felt like it was time. And He slipped into their conversation. All this was pouring out. Sometimes I wonder, were they really trying to educate them, or was it just a continuation of their hearts just emptying? Maybe it was a little both. And they got to this breaking point where they said, "And certain of them that were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women said, but they didn't see Him." Then He said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in His glory?" And it said that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He began to expound unto them. Wouldn't you have liked... There's all these books that have been written. The types and the shadows and the what this meant and what this was to foretell. My Bible has little stars, you know, in the Old Testament that denotes that it was a prophecy. Not that I wrote, that whoever put the Bible together, you know, made little indicators where it was a prophecy. All these people, you know, looking at all this, but to hear Jesus himself begin to expound what all this meant and how it all fit together. Oh, I would have loved to have been the fourth man walking down the road that day with them, and been able to listen that day. And it said that the Lord opened up all of these things to them, and they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him. And that's going to be the point of my message this morning. First of all, I want to tell you this. I have written in my Bible a couple of things. After the 26th verse, when Jesus began to open up the words to them, I have written in my Bible, turning point one. And when it said, but they constrained him, you know, he had opened up the word to them. And then it was like he was going to keep on going on. But they constrained him. And I wrote turning point two. Why? This verse begins just to capture what I feel like I have in my heart. These men heard the word right from the Lord's mouth. And we find out later, said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Did you feel what I felt? When the Lord began to open up His Word, they had been in the presence of the Almighty God, but then they got to the place where it was a natural parting place. See? They came to the place where it's time for them to get off the road and go into their house and have dinner and whatever else they were going to do that night. And so this was a natural parting place for the Lord, for whoever was with them, to go on. But it said they constrained him. You know what constrained means? It could have different meanings, but constrained means to persuade by pressure or force, or to compel. Now, you know, sometimes someone might invite you over to their house or go somewhere on a trip with them or whatever it is. I'll make you an offer on something and say, hey, you know, would you like to come over this afternoon? You're welcome to if you want, but they're plenty happy for you to go on your way if that's, you know. But if they really want you to come over, If it's really something they want, they constrain. No, please. And they compel. No, really, come. You have these other things to do, but please don't go. I mean, just this time, please come with us. Our heart is in this. We're not just saying we want you to come. We want you to come to our house, and what can we do to keep you from going on? Compel. We read a parable where Jesus sent people out to bring them in and they didn't come to the marriage feast, and they went back out to compel them to come in. Why? Because it was serious. The ramifications of not coming were serious. And so they compelled them. See, it goes above and beyond just, you know, kind of a casual, okay. Well, these men may not have completely understand who Jesus was that day, who that man was that was walking down the road with them. However, there was something about the Master. There was something about the Lord's manner of communication with them that was connecting their heart to the Lord Himself. Well, they didn't know He was the Lord. And so, when it came to the place and the time where naturally it was a parting, a place where they could kind of part, if you will. It was an easy parting time and place. It said that they constrained him. They constrained him after they felt that burning down in their heart. My testimony to you this morning is, I know what they're talking about when they said they felt a burning in their heart. You know when the Lord's presence comes and fills your heart, and there is a burning in your heart, you can't explain it to somebody who hasn't experienced it. I know what these people were talking about. Did not we feel a burning in our heart? I know what they're talking about. And I know why they constrained him, because they didn't want to become separated from that. Maybe, you know, certainly the thing of the day was getting late in the evening, and maybe it was the polite thing to do to say, hey, you know, you want something here? But they constrained him. It didn't say they offered that he could stay. It said they constrained him. They compelled him. No! Come stay with us. Come stay for a while and eat with us. And I wonder, sometimes, do we put ourselves in the position with the Lord to experience this burn down in our hearts? These men, when the Lord began to speak to them, they gave Him their rapt attention. They became still before the Lord. And when it came time for a natural parting place, they didn't allow that to happen. They said, no, Lord, they didn't say Lord, they didn't know it was the Lord yet. Please come and stay with us for a little bit longer. And I feel like sometimes we are too willing to conveniently excuse ourselves from the Lord's presence. My message this morning is for us to remember, but they constrained Him. I'm not trying to read more into what was there, but this is what happened. I've underlined the word, but they constrained Him. Why did they constrain Him? Because the Lord, why does it say but? It was because the Lord was, He was making as if He was going to go on. And they saw that. So, as He was making like He was going to go on, but they did something about it. Wait! Don't go! Don't keep going! We don't want you to go outside of our presence. We want you to come in our house with us. We don't want you to go. We want to continue to be in your presence. And so many times I feel like we allow this world and opportunities that conveniently present themselves to us for us to conveniently excuse ourselves from the Lord's presence. We have a prayer in the morning perhaps, and we allow Him to talk to our hearts. And in His mercy, He's willing to do that. And maybe we feel His presence when we do that in the morning. Take a little time. Maybe we spend time at family worship in the evenings. Which if you don't do, I highly recommend it. Spend time with the Lord. But, and then we come to church and we worship the Lord here. We're all here this morning on Sunday. And we're asking the Lord to meet us. We ask the Lord, Lord, would You meet us in this place this morning? Would You be with us? What are You going to do when church is over with? What are You going to do when Monday comes around? What are You going to do when it's Tuesday? What are You going to do when it's time now to go to work? What are You going to do when it's normally time? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying all of this is wrong. But what are You going to do when now you've had your worship? The end of the road, it's time for you to go this way, and you've kind of had your communion with the Lord, and church is over with now, and you did that, and now you're at a fork in the road, or now's the time where I usually listen to something else, or watch something else, or I go to wherever I want to go, and do whatever I want to do. What do you do then? See, those are convenient times that we don't feel like, well, I'm not casting the Lord aside. I mean,
I went to church and I had my worship and I gave him time and space, and oh, I sure appreciated the service. Did you not feel the burn that I felt? I felt his Holy Spirit there in the service, but oh, hey, it looks like we're at home now. It's time now to go eat. Well, Lord, thank you for meeting with us. Maybe we want to meet you again sometime. Do you think we've ever been there? I think we have. The Lord would have gone on had they not constrained him. And you know what struck me more than I guess ever before about this passage? It was not until they constrained him. It was not until their hearts burned within them first. Okay? But then he made like he was going to go on. And if they would have allowed him to continue to go on, they would have missed one of the most wonderful, important things. What took place after they constrained him? What happened? Their eyes were opened. That's when their eyes of understanding were opened. It was after they constrained him. It was after they felt their hearts burn within them. It was after that. That's when their eyes of understanding were open. That's when he opened up their eyes. How far do we go in our lives to try to constrain the Lord? He's not going to force himself on us. Oh, he passes by our way in the sweetest way, and he does that to sinners and saved people alike. He's trying to reach us. He's trying to connect with us. He's trying to give us a taste of the water of life. But what do we do in our own lives to constrain the Lord? How much energy do we put forth to say, "Whoa, Lord, Lord, please, I'm going out the doors of the chapel, but please don't leave me. Please come with me. Come to my home. Lord," we read this morning, Anna. Do you know what I was challenged by? It said she fasted and prayed night and day. Why? Because she wanted to feel the presence of the Lord. And she had the presence of the Lord. And Simeon, the Holy Ghost, was upon him. Why? Because he made the Lord his everything. He constrained the Lord. Lord, no, I give you my life. I don't just give you a section of my time in the day. I don't just compartmentalize the activities of my life and say, okay, now I'm going to give the Lord this portion and okay, now this is my job here and okay, now is my time. This is me time. Have you ever heard people say, well, this is me time. This is Rod time. This is my time. Give it all up and say, Lord, go with me wherever I am, always. I thought about Jacob. Wasn't it Jacob who wrestled with the angel? Right? I didn't look it up, but I thought about it. I think it was Jacob. Didn't the angel... It wasn't Jacob that... it broke the angel's thigh, right? It was the other way around. The angel touched his hip or his thigh or something. What does it say Jacob did? He wrestled with him all through the night. Why? Because he wanted to be blessed by him. He wanted his blessing. And he was wrestling with pain and with hurt. I don't know what time of the night the angel touched him. But he was fighting. He was going against what he felt like. There's going to be times in life, folks, where it's going to seem not convenient, maybe. It's going to be like a natural parting place. Well, Lord, I mean, I've given you quite a bit here now. And now, how much do we constrain the Lord to stay with us in our life? How much energy do we fight all night? Do we fast and pray like Anna did? Do we seek the Lord with, you read in Jeremiah, in the day that, was it in the day that you seek me with your whole heart, I'll be found? Or there's verses like that all through the Bible. In the day that you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found in me. Seek me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your strength. God is not looking for a half-hearted effort. God doesn't want a people who gives just part way. We've preached before about Gideon and his army. He sent the majority of the people home. Some people said, I don't want to fight. But he sent a whole bunch of them home that said, we'll fight. But when it was convenient, see, when it was time to get a drink, it was like a convenient parting place. Well, certainly the Lord will understand this. Certainly He'll understand why I'm going to set my stuff down, because I have to get a drink. And the Lord sent him home. Said, tell them to go home. I'm looking for a people who are going to include me in everything that they do. And they're going to, and even when it's uncomfortable, and even when I hurt, even when the Lord's convicted me and touched me, and it's easy to run, to turn from that. Well, thank the Lord for conviction. I sure want to give that some thought. It's time to go over here. Oh, I've got an appointment with so and so. Would you be willing to take the Lord with you? They asked the Lord to come into their house. Lord, come abide with us a little bit longer. Why don't we do that more than we do? Are we afraid of what He might find in our house? You know, sometimes we don't want the Lord to get in too close contact with us. Lord, it's good for us to be with You out on the road, but we're home now. We'll get back with You. Well, we don't tell the Lord that verbally. But I feel like this world, we're so apt to do that. Now we're at home. Well, we don't want the Lord to come in our house, because then He'll see everything that's in our house. And if we constrain the Lord to always be with us, well, it might interfere with some of the things that I'm kind of drawn to. And I just don't know if I want the Lord to go everywhere I go, and to listen to everything I listen to, and to watch everything, and to be involved with everything that I think about, and to present Himself to the world like I may want to present myself. You see, it has practical application. The Word of God always did. The Word of the Lord has practical application. It affects, and it was intended to affect, every area of our life. And some people draw away from that and say, you're preaching on things now. Yes, thank the Lord, it involves things. He came to affect our whole life. He came to give us abundant life. He brought a plan of salvation that has practical application in everything that we do in life. And He's waiting to see if we will constrain Him to come be a part of our lives in every area. Why don't we constrain Him? Is it the cares of life? Maybe it's not sin. Maybe the cares of life. It's just, Lord, I know You're here and I appreciate it. And we got this pulling on this side and this pulling on this side. And we're trying to figure out how to do everything. And somehow in the shuffle, the Lord passes on. Or maybe it's sometimes we get to the place and we think, well, why would the Lord really talk to me personally? I mean, I'm just me, my faults, my failures. I can constrain, but I don't even think He would want to be with me. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. First of all, God already knows what's in your house. Okay? Let Him come in your house, because He already knows what's there. You're not going to spring anything on Him. You're not going to surprise Him with anything. Lord, could You just wait out here for a minute? I'll be right back. He knows what's in your house. I'm not just talking about your house that's made out of brick or wood or hay. I'm talking about your life. it can involve your house that you live in. But he knows what's in your heart. He knows how you feel. He knows what idols are in your life. He knows what things you have set up in your house that you pay homage to. He knows how you think. He already knows it's there. Let him in. You're not keeping him from anything. He came to help you with those things. Will he interfere with the desires of your flesh? Absolutely he will. So, well, you know, if you get too close to the Lord, it can kind of cause an interference with what I want to do. Yes, he will. And you know why? Because he knows that the things that we are naturally drawn to, they won't satisfy your spirit or your flesh, either one. That's why he said, I'm come that you might have life. Because without me, you won't have life. Oh, you'll have an existence, but it'll have a certain end to it. And I have an expected end for you. I have good thoughts that I think towards you. And I have an expected end for you. If you will constrain me, if you will let me know that you indeed want me, that you're willing for me to come in your heart, that you're willing for my Holy Spirit to take up its abode inside you. Are you willing? I want to be willing. I want to be willing to constrain the Lord. We have some responsibility as on our part. We have some responsibility in this. We have to say, Lord, wait. Don't go. I'm willing to make whatever changes are necessary in my temple so that you can abide there. But don't go anywhere, Lord. If there's places in my temple that aren't right, and Lord, I believe there are, help me get rid of them. I will make it an abode, a house that you can live in, if you'll help me. Lord, come. Don't go on. Don't keep going down the road. I know I don't have everything just right. But Lord, I'm willing to open up myself to you. Please come in. We have to be willing to press into the kingdom. Press. When it looks difficult. When there's convenient reasons to part from the Lord, press against it. But, use that word, but I'm not going to. But I'm not going to go to my house and let the Lord move on. I'm going to say, Lord, please go with me. Lord, please show me. Lord, I want my eyes of understanding to be open. Is there a cross? Yes, there's a cross. Pick it up and carry it. Don't glumly drag it along behind you. That's harder than if you just picked it up. Some people are dragging their cross along. I've been guilty of it. Probably all have. The Lord said, carry it. Pick it up. Carry it. I'll help you. I read somewhere it's just made of wood. It's not made of steel and iron and something you can't carry. And if it gets heavy at times, I'll help you, but pick it up. It's your cross. Be willing to take on the Lord's cause and make that your cause in life. But you can't do that until you constrain Him. These men, their eyes were not opened until they constrained Him. Don't be satisfied with the passing of the Spirit in your life. Don't be satisfied with feeling the blessings of a wonderful service. Don't be satisfied with just a touch from the Lord. He's trying to draw us. He wants us to take the next step. He comes into our life. They didn't ask Him. He came in because He saw they had a need, and He began to open up the Word of the Lord, and He blessed them. He does that. That's a turning point in our lives when it happens. But we have to take advantage. There's another turning point that happens, and it's the decision that we make when He would pass on if we don't constrain Him. That's when we really start making progress. That's when our eyes of understanding can be opened. When we say, Lord, come abide with me. Please don't go on. I want you. I'm willing. I'm going to press. I'm going to do whatever cleanup I need to do. Lord, I want you with me no matter where I go, what I do, what my activities are. I want a testimony where I can always say, even so, come now, Lord Jesus. And if we do that, we will find that we too become more eager to take the message to the world. Like these men, they got done eating and they got right back up, went right back down that road to spread the good news because their eyes of understanding would be open. We've seen Him. We know it's true. We want to spread it. Let's let the Holy Spirit come in our lives, constrain Him to come in. That's when our eyes of understanding will be open. That's when we will begin to experience that blessed presence of the Lord. I want to be faithful. I want to make it in. I want to consistently constrain the Lord and say, Lord, I want you in my life always. And His promise is, He'll come. He'll knock. If we open, He will come in. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.
Amen.